We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky. I am back in the St. Louis area, and I have with me the guy who's always in the St. Louis area.
I know, I'm stuck, John. I can't get out. But that's okay, because I'm having a great time serving as pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church, and this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
And as we told you last week, it is time for another 100 seconds of dumb jokes in honor of the 100th anniversary of KFUO Radio. Have you got your timer set there, Matt?
I am primed and ready to go, John. Okay, I can think of no better way to honor the founders of KFUO Radio than
right.
100 seconds of dumb jokes.
And please don't let it go 1 second beyond.
Show mercy to our listeners.
Yes. So here we go. What style of shoes does a frog wear?
I don't know.
Open-toed. A giraffe and an ostrich had a 100-meter race. It was neck and neck, right to the end.
Neck and neck.
A woman was sitting at the funeral for her recently deceased husband. A man leaned toward her and asked, "Do you mind if I say a word?" "No, no, go right ahead," the woman replied. The man stood up, cleared his throat, and said, "Plethora, plethora." He then sat back down. "Thanks," the woman said. "That means a lot."
Oh, nice. That's pretty good.
You like that one? Yeah,
I kind of like that one.
That's one of the older ones. The newer stuff is a little bit weak. All right, anyway, I hate my job as a taxi driver. People are always talking behind my back. People who take care of chickens are literally chicken tenders. Oh, here's one. Here's a Bible one. Where did Noah keep his bees?
I don't know, John. Where?
In the archives. In the
archives.
Yeah. I don't want to do that one either.
They're too funny.
These are too funny. Okay. Here we go. One morning at a bank, a robber pulled out a gun, pointed it at a teller, and said, "Give me all the money or your geography." The puzzled teller asked, "Did you mean to say, or your history?" The robber replied, "Don't change the subject."
And we are done, John.
Oh,
stop,
man.
Please, stop.
Yes, please. Okay.
Oh, boy. That plethora. That means a lot.
Love
it.
I guess next time I might have to look at them a little closer. Because there were some that I thought, why did I put that in there?
When they're too bad to even be on our 100 seconds of dumb jokes, then they're pretty bad.
That's bad.
All right. Boy. Well, yeah, here in St. Louis for trick-or-treating, the trick-or-treaters tell jokes. I don't know that.
Oh,
I guess
you would tell me about that, yeah.
Not everyone does that, I guess. But some of those jokes would be perfect for trick-or-treating, the open-toed shoes one in particular, John. So you're welcome, families. Save those for the next time you go trick-or-treating.
So I understand that you want to talk about a story today that actually relates to the title of our show, Wrestling with the Basics. We actually have a wrestling story today. Is that right?
You know, there's not that many accounts in Scripture that include wrestling in them, John,
yeah.
Right? But this one does. This one does, legitimately. And because of that, it is just weird. So this is weird.
Well, it matches our show then. That's tremendous.
Exactly. It is strange. It is weird. It's Jacob wrestling. But, you know, not only is Jacob wrestling in the Bible, that would be weird enough, but he's wrestling with, as we'll find out, none other than God, the Lord. What's up with that? Talk about strange. So we want to wrestle with Jacob wrestling with God. Yeah, that's what we're talking about today.
So where would you like me to go?
Yeah, well,
in the Bible, I'm assuming.
Yes, in the Bible. Let's see here, John. Let's start by just sort of recounting Jacob's life.
Oh, yeah.
A little build up to this wrestling match, okay? But, you know, just to recount his life, Jacob is born and he is a twin, right? He's got a twin brother and his twin brother named Esau. And remember how he's delivered, John? Remember that's strange too. Speaking of strange stuff, you know, Jacob and Esau, these brothers, remember how they're delivered? Who comes out first?
Well, I'm thinking it's Esau that comes out first, but Jacob's holding on to his ankle or whatever, trying to hold him back or something.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing? So we have that. That sounds strange, too. So Esau's deliver comes out first, but Jacob's holding on to his ankle, holding on to his heel, right? And because of that, he gets his name. Jacob literally means heel grabber.
That nickname?
Isn't that great? Yeah. Heel grabber, supplanter, it can be called. Someone who trips someone up. So it's not the most flattering name, the name Jacob. The other interesting thing is, before he's even born, God reveals to his mother that Jacob is going to be special. And specifically, the older brother will serve the younger.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, too. Rebecca's given that information. So, you know, that God has a plan for Jacob even before he's born. The problem is, though, Jacob is just too darn impatient for God's plan to be fulfilled and unfold. And so Jacob, this deceiver, this heel grabber, takes matter into his own hands. And so he does that with two people. He does it, first of all, with his brother, right, John? Remember that episode with Esau, how he gets the birthright from him?
Oh, yeah. Esau comes in, and he's super hungry, and Jacob's working with a pot of porridge or whatever. It was probably Campbell's chicken noodle soup. Oh, by the way, thank you. We love Campbell's noodle soup. That should give us a few bucks from the Campbell's company, don't you think? Well, whatever. He says, I'd sell my inheritance for a bowl of soup, a bowl of porridge. And of course, for Campbell's, you would. That's how good that soup is. And so that's how he fools his brother, or tricks him, or scams him, whatever word you want to use.
Yes. Yeah. So he sells his
inheritance.
Yes. Yeah. His birthright for a bowl of stew. Right. He's famished, and Jacob withholds it from him until he gets this bargain, the deal.
Yeah.
And then the other thing he does, he deceives his own dad. Right. Yeah. So, you know, poor Isaac is almost blind. Jacob comes in with skins on his arms, so he feels and smells even like his brother Esau, tricks his dad into blessing him instead of blessing Esau. So when Esau gets wind of all this, you can imagine Esau is ticked off so much, in fact, that he wants to kill his brother, you know, because he's taking the blessing, taking his birthright, and now he wants to kill this deceiver. And so he flees, and he eventually ends up at Uncle Laban's house. And he falls in love with Rachel, you know, and works 7 years for her to become his wife. Wow. Can you imagine that? Working 7 years. And then on his wedding night, Laban does the switcheroo he wakes up the next morning and it's not Rachel laying next to him. It's her sister, Leah.
What goes around comes around, man.
Yeah.
That's what
the deceiver has been deceived, John. Yeah. You're exactly right. Jacob's been deceived big time, right? He works another 7 years to marry Rachel. And then he even works more years, and he builds up these flocks and herds. And God blesses him beyond anything Jacob deserved, blesses him richly. So he eventually decides it's time to leave Laban, and it's time to go home. It's time to go home, and it's time to face Esau. And so on his way home, he's got his flocks, his herds, his children, his wives, and he hears that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men, it sounds like. So Jacob's scared. He sends everyone else across the river. I always thought that was kind of interesting. His wives, his kids, his flocks, and he stays by himself on the banks of the Jabbok River all by himself, or so it seems he's by himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when the wrestling match takes place. So all this build up for what we're going to hear in Genesis 32, beginning with verse 22. So, John, why don't you, let's go and read the whole thing, I think, verses 22 through 30.
Can I just make a comment before reading the story? Because we actually talked about Jacob a few weeks ago. He was one of the examples we gave of how the Bible just doesn't make any sense, right? Because we were thinking that God's going to choose honorable, fine, upstanding men. These are the kind of people that will be his leaders. Yep. And yet here's another example where he chooses a guy who, like you say, he's a liar, he's a cheat, you know, but he's the guy God chose. He's the guy that's going to be the ancestor of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But what I like about this story, and we could say with all of those scoundrels that God chooses, you don't want to do that, though, because you're just going to have a lot of pain in your life, right? Like you said, he had to actually flee his home. He couldn't see his mom and dad anymore. In fact, I was wondering, does he ever get to see his mom and dad after he flees his home because of Esau's a desire to kill him? Does he ever get back to see them? I don't think he does. So.
I think it's just Esau now. Yeah, and you know, okay. What a shame, right? What a shame, yeah. Because of the result of his sin and deceit.
So I hope our listeners understand, when we talk about how God forgives people and how God uses sinners, we're not advocating that you do that, okay? Because there will always be consequences. This man lost his family. He found himself, as you illustrated, in a very difficult situation where his father-in-law took advantage of him. Now, in the story we're about to talk about, he's waiting to meet this brother, and he thinks the brother will probably kill him. So please, people, do not sin, because the Bible says God disciplines those who sin. And I used to try to make that word softer by saying, well, it's not kind of punishment. It's something less than... No. The verse says chastisement and punish or discipline. And the word for chastisement means to be beaten with a whip. Okay. And as the author of Hebrews says, it's not pleasant at the time. Okay.
That's an understatement, right? Yeah, exactly.
So trust me, if you're doing something that you know is wrong, there will be consequences. But of course, the beauty of that Hebrews passage I referenced is God disciplines those he loves, like a father disciplines his son. So please remember, even as you're struggling with the consequences of your sin, no, God, he still loves, he still cares for you. In fact, that's why he's given you all the troubles he's given. And so now back to Jacob, who's thinking, oh man, tomorrow Esau's going to come and he's going to kick my butt. Can we say that on Wrestling with the Basics?
Well,
we can.
So.
We can on the special wrestling episode.
I think there's a certain like allowances that. Made that's for that. Wrestling episodes. Yeah,
he's going to take out the trash, as Hulk Hogan used to say.
All right. Well, Jacob, let's get ready to rumble here, John.
Yeah, let's get ready to rumble.
With Jacob and his unexpected opponent. So in one corner, we have Jacob. In the other corner, we have, well, God himself.
Yeah.
So let's check it out.
So verse 22?
Yes.
All right. Pardon me. The same night he arose, that's Jacob, and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.
All right. Well, let's stop there for now, John.
Okay.
So there's the wrestling match, right? You know, it seems like it happens all night long. You know, we can just imagine the sweat and the dirt and the pain. And then finally, The sun comes up. Jacob refuses to let the man go, right? But yet, he touches Jacob's hip, and it's dislocated, right?
Yeah.
With just a touch. And Jacob realizes, oh, this is God, right? This is no mere man, right? But he clings to him, grasps the man. Jacob refuses to let him go. And then he asks, what is your name? And Jacob says, Jacob. And then he replies, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, right? Israel. So there's the wrestling match, John. You know, a strange, strange account. You know, Jacob literally wrestles with God, incredible as that is, on the banks of this river. But, you know, if we think of wrestling with God in a figurative sense, okay, there's others, descendants of Jacob, by the way, others in the scriptures that wrestle with God as well, okay? Maybe you can think of some examples. I've got a few examples because I've thought through this already. But, you know, I think of a guy like Moses, right?
Yeah.
Moses, the Lord speaks to him out of this burning bush, wants him to go to Pharaoh, say, let my people go. And Moses wrestles with that. You know, he answers, well, you know, who am I, Lord? Or what if they don't listen to me? Or, Lord, I'm slow of speech, send someone else. So he wrestles with God's plan for him. Finally, he goes and he learns a dependence upon God, but he wrestles, right? I think of David, the poet, the shepherd, the king, how in the Psalms, again and again, we just see this wrestling with God. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever, right? It's like he's wrestling with God's presence, his love for him. And yet, throughout the Psalms too, we see David is holding on to God and his steadfast love again and again and again. Think of Hannah. She's wrestling with God in prayer. She's unable to bear children. She comes before the Lord. The Bible says she pours out her soul before the Lord and weeps bitterly. I mean, she's wrestling with not understanding why she can't have a child. And yet we hear the Lord hears her prayers and even blesses her with Samuel, who becomes a great prophet. All these examples of just different individuals wrestling with God. And yet, I would also say that they're wrestling with God, but not necessarily against God.
No,
all right.
No.
So, and why I say that is, you know, they're wrestling with God. They have a trust in the Lord. These are believers in the Lord God. And yet they still wrestle with him. But they're not wrestling against him. It's not like it's unbelief. They're not against God, but boy, they still wrestle. But they also still hold on to God too, you know, in a figurative way. Hold on to his steadfast love like David does. Hold on to him in dependence as we see Moses does then as he goes to Pharaoh. This wrestling with God in a figurative way is throughout the scriptures, no doubt about it. Yeah.
So I can give you another example.
Sure.
And again, I hope I'm not taking away, I don't know where you're heading with this. So I hate to take away your punchline, but Jesus, right?
Yeah.
He's in the garden and he's up front. He says, Jesus, I don't want to do this. Take this cup away from me. Three times he says, I mean, he's really, really wrestling. Take this cup away. But I really appreciate what you said. It's not because he's against God. No, it's just because that's really, really hard. That's difficult. Yeah. So not my will, thy will be done. Because he's actually with God. But yeah, sometimes God does things and we don't know, we don't understand, and it's hard for us. And so we do. And that's okay. That's the beauty about being a Christian. Now, you don't want to curse God like Job's wife recommends. That's probably not good advice. Nope. But yeah, we do wrestle. By the way, could I point out something here? God is a dirty fighter too. Well, this comes from my years as a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
People all right, don't John, realize
yeah.
that.
Yeah, sure.
Before I was a pastor, I actually wrestled in the St. Louis circuit. that's where I got the nickname Jolly John. People thought
that's your wrestling name. That sounds very intimidating, by the way, John.
I know. That's why I was never successful. I could not strike the fear in anyone's hearts. Oh, there comes Jolly John.
John, not Jolly John.
he touches him on the hip and disables the hip. And seriously, I do remember from my high school days of wrestling that's where it's at. People don't understand. It's not your arms. It's your legs. you have to really, really have strong legs in order to prevail. And so once he touches him in the hip, the wrestling match is over. He is not going to beat whoever it is that he's wrestling. It's done for Jacob. But see, there's the faith, isn't it? All right, I'm not going to beat him, but I sure am going to hold on to him.
I'm going to hold on.
I'm not going to let him go.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you brought up Jesus, John. Jacob's greatest descendant and also the greatest wrestler, right, Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think to look at that in two ways. One is, this wrestling that he does, not on the banks of a river, but he does it at night still in a garden as he prays before his father, right?
Yeah.
Take this cup from me, but yet not my will, but yours be done. Wow, that's a wrestling with his father. I think another way to look at it is, the wrestling that takes place on Calvary itself, cross, where Jesus is wrestling not with God, not with his father necessarily, but with sin and death and with the devil, right? And for everyone who's there, boy, it sure looks like Jesus lost.
Yeah.
he's nailed to a tree and bloody and dead. It looks like he lost this wrestling match. And yet, the profound truth here is, just as God could have certainly taken down Jacob with no problem in the wrestling match, and finally does with touching his hip, so also Jesus, he could have pinned down the people as executioners. He could have come down off the cross anytime. Yeah, no problem at all. He could have body slammed him. But he chose not to, right? I'm just going with the wrestling motif, John. But Jesus chose not to, right? He chooses out of love for us, out of love for the world, to lay down his life. But we then see on Easter, well, guess what? He really is the victor. He is the champion. Even though it didn't look like it at the cross, no, he won the battle against sin, death, and the devil. The victory's won, right? He is the champion. Jesus, the ultimate wrestler who wrestles with his father's will, right? But also wrestles and defeats sin, death, and the devil. Yeah.
And I would add, and this is a difficult concept, but I think it is very biblical, because he is not only wrestling with sin, death, and the devil, and he's certainly doing that on the cross, right? But he's still wrestling with God, isn't he? Because he cries out from the cross, my God,
mm-hmm. why hast thou forsaken
me? Because you got to realize, ultimately, our enemy isn't he is our enemy. I'm not denying that. But our problem ultimately is with God and his holiness and his purity that shows that we are sinful people and that we deserve nothing but to be sent to hell. That's what we deserve. The devil can only affirm what the scriptures teach, that the wages of sin is death, but you're right. See, that was the victory of Jesus Christ. And the great thing is he didn't get that victory for himself. He gained that victory for us.
Yeah. All for us. And I think that's what we keep in mind then in our lives when we wrestle with God, right?
Yeah.
Because we, in a figurative way, we wrestle with God. And, again, probably not at night on the banks of a river, right? But it may be
hold on. It is often at night, though, Matt, isn't it?
We lay in bed and
we start thinking of all the things.
Yep.
So, but you're right. We're not doing it at a river, but it is a lot of time at night.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that our nighttime wrestling is any less difficult, right?
No.
Because like you point out, it is often at night, when we're alone with our thoughts, perhaps, when we're in despair and we wrestle with God, and we think about, the widow who's sitting in an empty house and, she's wrestling with the fact that she feels like her husband was just taken away all too soon from her, right? Or the family that's devastated because one of their loved one was diagnosed with cancer, right? That's all too real for a lot of people, including you, John. And even though the treatments are undergoing, it's still unknown what's going to happen, at least unknown to us, or even the Christian that's burdened by their own guilt, right? Wondering if God can really forgive someone like them. And I think for us then as Christians, as we, and again, it's not that we're against God. No, we believe in the Lord. We're Christian people. Thanks be to God. But we still wrestle at times, right? And Martin Luther comments on this wrestling match with God and Jacob. And Luther writes, faith holds firmly to God's word. until it overcomes God's wrath and obtains God as the gracious Father, right? So faith holds firmly to God's word. You know, so during those times when we are maybe all wrestling with God, in that wrestling, still hold tight to God's word, to his promises, to the assurance that he's with you, that he loves you, that you are a baptized child of his because he says so. Hold on to those promises. Hold on to those promises. And more importantly, know that, well, Jesus is holding on to you, right?
Oh, yes.
Because
he
if he loved you enough to die for you, he's not going to let go of you either. Now, trust me. So I think those are important things to keep in mind in our wrestlings. Our wrestlings. I've got one more point, John, but anything you want to add before?
No, I'm ready for the wrap up there.
All right. Yes. So read, we're talking about context. The lectionary leaves this verse out, John, but read verse 31, that the next verse that comes.
The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip.
Limping. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a big deal, but I think it is. So he wrestles with God. Is God dislocates his hip, you know, he's out of commission, and then he leaves limping. And you wonder, how long did Jacob limp? You know, we just don't know. Was it the rest of his life? You know, I don't know. But his limp was certainly a reminder, right, of what took place. A reminder to him that he's wrestled with God, but yet was blessed by God. You know, even in the wrestling, and maybe even in the midst, you know, in the midst of wrestling, he's blessed by God, you know, and we think of how figurative, even our wrestlings, as difficult as they sometimes are, is God blessing us, right? Teaching us. So maybe we have a limp of sorts in our lives. Maybe we have scars from our lives, but yet maybe those limps draw us closer to the Lord. Maybe they're a reminder that we need to depend on the Lord, right? We need to keep holding on to him, even as he's holding on to us. So as we limp, maybe we have those scars from wrestling with God, the things that take place in our lives. But maybe they're a reminder, too, that we need the Lord. Like he says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, the whole Paul thing about the thorn in the flesh. And again, there it is, wrestling with God, right? Just like Jesus, take this away. And finally, no, my grace is sufficient. And I think you're right. I think all of those things keep us closer to God. Certainly that would remind Jacob that he was a deceiver. And now he's a contender. I like that word, Israel, is a contender.
So, you know, when we look at Jacob's life as a whole, there's not a whole lot for us to emulate, I don't think, John. He's kind of a bum, you know, deceiver, heel grabber, trips people up. But, you know, if we're going to take anything from his life, you know, maybe perhaps it's just that, you know, as Luther pointed out, to hold on to God, right? To hold on to God's promises, to not let go of them, even in the midst of our wrestling, even in the midst of our, you know, our difficulties in life, whatever they may be for each one of us, to hold on to God. And again, can't emphasize this enough, knowing that indeed, you know, God is holding on to us. I think that's a good takeaway from this strange wrestling match between Jacob and God.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you say there, Matt. That's why you hold on to the word, because the word is the thing that confirms the fact that no matter what, He is our Father, Jesus is our Savior, and there's nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Matt. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.